Each October, we observe a long-standing tradition here at Focus on the Family called Pastor Appreciation Month. A pastor's work is tiring, and we can all come alongside and encourage them as they work in our local churches. Focus on the Family has downloads, videos, and other tools to provide ideas to help you support your pastor and their family. Stop by focusonthefamily.com/pastorappreciation to get started. That's focusonthefamily.com/pastorappreciation. When you've been hurt by your spouse, it's easy to say something like, you know, I can never forgive you for what you did. And when the sting of betrayal is so deep, where do you turn for help? If you're in that place today or know someone who is struggling in a similar kind of way, I'm so glad you've tuned in because we're going to offer hope. I'm John Fuller, along with Greg and Aaron Smalley. They're in charge of our marriage department here at Focus on the Family. And last time we heard the first part of a conversation that Jim Daly and I had with Mark and Jill Savage, and they described the devastation of what happened when it came to light that Mark was having an affair. And here they are with more of their very honest assessment of their story.
Mark, let me bring it back to you for a minute, because there was this seesaw effect that occurred over the next few weeks or months. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Where you were, you know, telling Jill, yeah, that we're done, it's off, and then it would rekindle. Mm-hmm. Describe that. And even in that confusion, what was going on?
Well, so the Christ-centered part of me wanted to restore, get things figured out between Jill and I, but the flesh part of me just had, I was without hope. We had wrestled for so many years with our differences, with trying to figure each of us out, that I was worn out with all of that. And in my absolute discouragement, I would run home and say, I am staying with you, I'm ending that, let's figure this out. But then in my hopelessness, I'd run back to the relationship. And I did that seven or eight times,
yeah.
And then finally, I ended up finding an apartment and moving out.
What was that length of time, just so we get an idea of the eight times you were in and out of the relationship?
So that would have been from October to May.
So, you know, the better part of well over 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
right.
Jill, I do want to ask you, because I know women right now, some may even be screaming as they're hearing this because they've gone through something and they're going, Jill, you should have just left him. And I think really I want to speak to the Christian community, because there is a difference. I mean, people that don't believe in Christ, they're not bound by those, you know, God-given boundaries, those God-given decrees to try to repair their marriage. I would hope that they would, because of the benefits that come from that. But for the Christian community particularly, Jill, is even a Christian woman is saying, Jill, what are you thinking? Mm-hmm. Let him go. You may have even gotten some of that advice.
Oh, I certainly did. I mean,
speak to those two halves of the brain, you know, what your logic side is telling you and then what the spirit is telling you.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, I had people say that. I had that thought in, you know, multiple times. Like, at what point? Because this wasn't the first issue that we had dealt with. There had been other things. There had been a background of pornography, and there had been other pieces. And at some point, you know, you kind of go, I'm tired. Okay, I just want to be done with this.
Well, I guess the point there is the church, as well as the culture, will legitimize that and say,
right,
you had every right. And, you know, the Bible does say you have every right to get out of this.
Right. And but I did not feel released from it.
Huh.
I didn't feel released from it. And I would ask God what to do. I begged God to tell me what to do. In fact, it was probably a day, maybe 2 days after I discovered the physical affair, that I can remember I was on my living room floor. I was home alone, just bawling my eyes out, begging God to tell me what to do. And I heard one thing, one thing. I heard him say, I want you to love him. And I got off the floor and I looked at heaven and I shook my fist at heaven and I said, I don't know if you've noticed lately, but he's not real lovable right now. And I heard God whisper back to my heart, and sometimes you aren't either.
Wow.
And that was a moment that I was like, all right, Lord, you love me when I'm unlovable. I don't know how to do that.
You know, it's a beautiful, tender moment. I have tears in my eyes because it's powerful, but it is exactly the spiritual illustration that God uses throughout the scripture to define his relationship with the church, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're a harlot. You come and go. You aren't committed to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, wow, there's nothing that we experience in this life closer, I think, to the heart of God than our love for one another in marriage and then the betrayal of that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what God feels with his people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's so powerful. It stings so much. But for him to put that in your heart,
it was
wow.
And that really became, I mean, I learned how to love someone who wasn't loving me back. And that was a huge lesson.
And where would you say that turning point, maybe it was that, but that turning point back towards saving your marriage, where did it start and what did it feel like?
Yeah, I would say it was there. I was committed to doing whatever needed to be done. And at that point, I really began to look at myself even deeper, because one of the things I realized is I didn't cause Mark to be unfaithful, but I contributed to the dysfunction in our marriage. Hmm. And I needed to figure that piece out.
That's really hard for women to embrace.
It's hard for any of us to embrace.
Well, but I think particularly a woman that is faithful, but maybe there's something broken in the relationship or not as healthy as it could be. It may be physical intimacy. I don't know what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to look at your own heart for that speck.
Mm-hmm. But it is. But I knew whether my marriage made it or not, I needed to know what I had brought dysfunctionally to the relationship.
Right.
I mean, I really had that in my mind. Like, I can't control him. I can't control what he's going to do. I can only change what I bring to the table. And so that began the journey for me. And I had to look at my critical spirit. I had a critical spirit, and it was robbing Mark of feeling connected to me. I had to look at the fact that I was very much a thinker. So we're opposite in the way most marriages are. Most marriages, the men are the thinker, the women are the feeler.
Right.
Okay. In our marriage, we're like in the other 20-80. I'm the thinker, he's the feeler. And so I had to realize that my emotional strength, I say strength carefully, was actually sending an unintentional message to my husband that I did not need him.
Wow, some really good stuff from Jill and Mark. And Aaron, as I turn to you, we've mentioned this before. The theme for this month of our podcast is addictions. And for the person whose spouse has maybe an addiction to affairs, what do you encourage them to do? I mean, that's a very dark place to be in.
Mm-hmm. And just the emotions that are entailed in that betrayal. And so when it first comes out, just make sure that you are not making a rash decision about the marriage, that you take time recognizing that healing from an affair can take, it's quite a journey. It can take, you know, 2-3 years to recover from infidelity. So there's no need to make a rash decision about the outcome of the marriage, because the research shows that if both individuals decide that, you know what, we're going to fight for this marriage, we're going to get help, that you can actually reach deeper levels of connection than couples who haven't been through that. And so it's just recognizing there is hope on the other side of it. So don't discard the relationship. But amidst that long journey, it's so important, practice great self-care, surround yourself with godly people who are there to support you as an individual, but also to help you have the stamina to fight for that marriage,
mm-hmm.
and are there to support you in that. Because it's easy in those moments when things get really, really tough to want to give up and to throw your hands up and go, I can't do this.
And the reality is not everybody's going to recover from an affair or some other addictive behavior. I'm thinking of a couple that we knew, and he was basically addicted to pornography, and that caught up with him. That became known in the relationship. And the wife confronted him, and he was unrepentant. She brought in friends. He was unrepentant. She brought in church leaders to the conversation. And they said, you got to stop this. It's that addiction to porn or your family. And sadly, he chose the addiction to porn. Mm. And his kids are mad at him. The marriage ended. I mean, it was a horrible, broken place. So I don't say that because you should expect that. I want you to get hope as a listener from these conversations.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, you know, we elevate the success stories or the way God intervened and mm-hmm. rescued. But mm-hmm. You've worked with so many couples, and mm-hmm. Hope Restored has done so much to help people, that intensive program that we offer. There is hope, even if it feels like it's over, right?
Yeah, so true, John. And it's so true that not every relationship is going to survive. And so thus, it's so important, regardless of what's going on, whether your relationship is recovering or not, that you are well cared for as an individual yeah. and that your heart is well cared for. Recognizing the better job that I do taking care of myself is going to ultimately impact how I show up. Mm-hmm. That, you know, often, you know, it's like we have a ticket to express any emotion at the cost of anybody. And it ends up costing us our integrity, that we are not our best self. So yeah. taking great care of myself physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually is going to help how I show up. And regardless of what the outcome is.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I appreciate you bringing that point up because it's so true.
And what I want to just emphasize again to you as a listener is focus on the families here to help no matter what stage you're at. Greg, we've both heard of donors who didn't call us in the midst of a marital struggle. And they ended up getting divorced. And we find out after the fact, it's like, you know, we have help here. We're not saying if you're perfect, then call us. We're saying mm-hmm. if you're struggling, call us, right? I mean, it's really important. We've got caring Christian counselors here. They're a phone call away. Reach out. Let us know you need some help. And we'll have one of them give you a call back. They'll talk through for 15, 20, 25 minutes. They'll give you some steps toward recovery. And Greg, your team has done an excellent job in particular of addressing this a fair situation, how to recover from that, right?
Yeah, and we have a great document that we'll give you the link here in the show notes that really gives you a plan. And often when you find out about an affair or this has come out and you just feel stuck, you feel helpless, hopeless, this will show you, do this, don't do this. And this is all from our team of counselors. I mean, this has really been well-researched, very biblically based. So we encourage you to take a look at that document.
Yeah. And as Greg said, we'll link over to that document in the show notes. Just two more things. I know we're offering a lot of help, but we really believe strongly in marriage and keeping that relationship alive as much as you can and thriving. The two other things would be our Hope Restored marriage intensives. I've been because Dean and I were drifting and we needed to reconnect. It was really dynamic in terms of improving our relationship. So we can tell you more about Hope Restored. And then if you can donate to the Ministry of Focus on the Family, we're so committed to marriages. Greg and Aaron have done such a great job of bringing their hearts to help you thrive as a couple. Support that work. Do ministry through Focus on the Family with a monthly pledge or a one-time gift. Doesn't matter how much it is, just make a donation and we'll send the book by Jill Savage, which captures their story and offers hope about recovering from an affair. It's called Your Next Steps. And again, all the details are in the show notes. Well, next time we'll hear from Amber and Guy Leah. They'll be discussing triggers in your relationship. I think you're going to find it fascinating. For now, on behalf of the Smalleys and the entire team here, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
When a woman discovers her husband's struggle with pornography, she needs a practical plan. The latest book from Focus on the Family, Aftershock, by professional counselor Joanne Condi, will help you through the 7 steps of self-care, and you'll learn how to deal with the emotions involved in the discovery of your husband's addiction. Let Joanne Condi's timeless wisdom give you hope even while you're in your own season of Aftershock. Learn more about Aftershock at focusonthefamily.com/store.